So we're in Matthew chapter 7 tonight. You guys got your Bibles? If not, if you downloaded our app, on the app there is a place you can click on with a Bible. All right, so you can click on that and use that to follow along with us. We're in Matthew chapter 7. Try out your app if you did it, just see if it works. If you're doing it, go, ooh, so I can hear you. Okay, so there's some people out there doing it. Great. As you're looking that up, I'm going to share a quick story with you. I was in the Middle East on a mission trip, and I was visiting some people over there, some missionaries, and they had the crazy story to tell me. You see, their house has this, instead of, how many of you guys have a bathroom in your house? All right, cool, like most of you, right? Your bathroom's in your, well, theirs isn't. Their bathroom's not, they have an outhouse. And so you actually have to leave their house, walk outside around the back of the house into this cool little shack, and in that shack, there's a bathroom. How many of you guys have a porcelain toilet that you sit on, or can sit on, to use the restroom? Right? Pretty much all of you. They didn't. So their little shack actually has a hole in the ground. And so you have to just kind of like do your business with really good balance over this hole. And it's in a little shack. And that's what you use. And so when I visited this missionary, he told me, we have one rule in my house. You don't throw toilet paper into the hole. Good rule, right? Like, I don't, okay, fine. I ain't throwing toilet paper. I ain't messing with your toilet, man. That's an important essential of life, right? Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, they said, this is why. We had a friend. He was a British man. He was older. He was probably in his 70s. And he had pretty much never left England before. And so here he is in Afghanistan visiting these missionaries, and he had to use the restroom. And so they said, yeah, it's right around back, but, and they told him the rule. You don't throw the paper in the hole. Okay, I got it. So he disappears. They're having dinner. They're sitting around. They're looking. They're like, where is this guy? And time kept going by, and they're wondering, like, did he fall in the hole? Like, where is this poor old guy? And so the missionary gets up. He's like, I'll go check on him. And he goes out back, and he goes to the shack, and he knocks on the door. He doesn't hear anything. He's like, oh. So he's like, I'm coming in. So he opens the door, and when he opens the door, there's this little old British guy, and he's sitting flat on the ground over the hole with his feet straight out, his pants around his ankles, and he's got a box in his hand. And the missionary just stops. He's like, what are you doing? And he's picking up these little round clumps of toilet paper. He's saying, you have such great hospitality here. You guys pre-crumble all the paper for all your guests. And he's like, that's actually the trash can. That's the used toilet paper, right? You don't want to use that, buddy. It's already pre-used just for your convenience, right? Poor old guy. Yeah, some of you are taking a little longer to get it, but you're getting it. This poor old man had been using dirty toilet paper, and he thought it was the greatest thing. He's like, you guys are so kind to do this for us. You see, he heard the rule. The missionary told him the rule, and he was so focused on the rule, he just didn't understand what the rule meant, that people would then not be throwing it in the hole. They'd be throwing it into this trash box instead. And so he knew the rule, but he didn't get what that rule really meant, what it entailed. And so tonight, as we look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us this awesome rule that almost every single person in this room knows. I guarantee all of you have heard it when I say the golden rule. How many of you guys know that? How many of you know what the golden rule is? Right? Like every person in here has heard the golden rule. Do unto others. What is it? As you'd have others do unto yourself. And so Jesus gives us this awesome golden rule that most of us can recite. But I wonder how many of us actually know what it really means. Kind of like this guy. He understood the rule. He just didn't get what it really meant. And so Jesus tonight in Matthew 7 tells us the rule. And he says, but don't stop there. Please don't stop there. I want you to understand what it really means. And so will you guys read with me? Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12 says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You see, what Jesus did was he gave us that rule. He said, listen to the golden rule. You guys know this. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. But now let me tell you what this really means. Get the whole thing. And so I want to stop for just a second and look at that rule. Let's see how many of us actually get what this thing means. Because he says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, and he uses the word do. Do also. Usually when we think of a rule, it's don't, right? Don't smack your neighbor in the face, right? Don't trip your little brother. Don't run your whatever dog over with a car. Like, these like don'ts are what we're used to with rules. They're limitations of things we can't do. But the golden rule that Jesus gives is a positive command. He says, do this. He's not trying to like limit what we're doing. He's trying to tell us what we should be doing. If you're believing in Jesus Christ and you trust him and you follow him, he says, do this. Go get this done. This is what you should look like if you're following me. And he says, whatever, whatever. That word whatever is really important. It's this command that goes above and beyond just some mere statement. He's not just telling us one thing. If you get this done, you're good. But he uses that word whatever. He says, you should be shooting to follow me above and beyond with whatever and anything that you're trying to do. Your heart should be in this. It's not just one rule that you're trying to check off your list to get it done. And then he says, do unto others as you'd have them to do to you. He wants us to put ourselves in each other's shoes, right? He's like, I'm going to sum up all of these laws and all these prophets and all these things that the Jewish people had kind of written out of the way we should act, right? And he's like, there's a lot of them. Can you memorize them all? And some people had. He's like, can you keep them all? And they're like, no, we're not very good at that. Maybe the Pharisees thought they could. And so he said, let me just sum this up. Let me tell you what all of these things come down to. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. And here he sums it up by saying this, do to others what you'd have them do to you. Go above and beyond to love like crazy the people around you. And he sums it up for them. It's not rocket science, right? It's just putting yourself in someone else's shoes. How would you want someone to treat you? How would you want and expect someone else to love you when you're in hard times, when you're hurting, when you're going through things? Would you want someone to ignore you? How would you want to be treated when you walk into a room full of strangers? Some of you guys are visitors tonight. We're glad you're here. I hope you've been loved well. I hope that when you walked in this place, you had a group of our kids that are regulars here that came up to you and introduced themselves and said hello and showed you that we would go above and beyond to love you well. I hope that happened tonight. All right? Because that's who we want to be. We want to be people that hear the words of Jesus and say, let's go. Jesus set this rule. It's not this like rule that's going to confine us and hold us back. It's a rule that sets us free to go do and love and be just like Jesus. This is an awesome rule, but that's just the rule. So Jesus moves into these next two verses and he says, now here's what it means. Here's what this really entails. And verse 13, he says, enter by the narrow gate. You got to be skinny for this one. I've been practicing a lot. Like, narrow gate. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble, right? And so he's enter by the narrow gate. Here's the point of this. That first word, you see it? Enter. He's talking about entering into a relationship with your God. This gate he's talking about is salvation. It's a relationship. It's a change of your whole entire life as you get to know God and you get to know who Jesus is, who died for you and rose again for you. And when he's talking about entering, he's talking about having a real relationship. So this rule over here, this kind of like the fruit of what you should look like and what you should be doing, can only happen if you have entered into a relationship with Jesus first. The rule by itself is just your behavior changing. You can trick people. You can fool us by putting on a smile and being really nice and patting people on the back. But when you've really been changed and entered a relationship with Jesus, your whole heart embodies that rule. You become that. It's not something you do. It's something you are because you've entered in this gate. But it says that the gate's narrow. It's hard to get in. It's not this easy thing to do. You got to think skinny. You got to think skinny because it's not what our culture tells us. Our culture right now, you could go to most churches and they would say, everybody's going to get in. You're like, everybody will go to heaven. It doesn't matter. As long as you have a religion, as long as you have a faith, as long as you behave a certain way and you're a nice guy. And we've seen interviews here in Firehouse before, testimonies of people who have told us, yeah, that's how you get to heaven. You see, the world wants you to think that no matter what you do, somehow you're going to get there. It's okay. There's this big, wide, wide gate that you can go through and you can have a relationship with God and you're cool. But tonight I need to tell you that this passage with the words of Jesus, the Savior himself, he says this. It's not narrow. It's not wide. It's narrow. As a matter of fact, it is so narrow, there is only one way in. There aren't 1,000 different ways. There's one way to God, and Jesus himself in the book of John says that Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I'm it. I'm the only one. This gate is so narrow, it's just one way, and I'm it right here. And so this command I gave you, this golden rule, this thing can only happen if you've entered through me, if you're in a relationship with me. And so when I say think skinny, I'm really saying think Jesus. He's the only way. There is absolutely no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. If you've ever been on an airplane, how many of you guys have flown before on an airplane, right? How many of you guys have sat in first class? Any first class passengers? Couple, a few of you, all right? Well, I fly a lot, and I never fly first class. And if you've ever flown not first class like me, you understand the dynamic of walking into a plane, and you have to take the walk of shame past those first, like, 8 or 12 seats. There's big, plush, like, armchairs, and there's these people, like, sprawled out. This one lady's small, so she can lay completely across her chair with a pillow, and it's just, like, propped up. You're like, what are you doing? What is that? And so you're walking in there, like, getting all this, like, delicious foods coming out, and you're smelling snake steak. Not snake. That'd be weird. Snakes on a plane, right? No, steak, like ribeye steak, you know, juicy red meat. And it goes by, you smell it, and like all these awesome things. And you're like, I can't have any of that. This is so sad. And so you take the walk of shame past first class back to this horrible curtain. It's dingy and dark and scary. And they pull the curtain and you're like, no, like that's where I have to sit. And you hear screams from the pits of Hades itself coming from the back of the plane. And you see little babies throwing up projectile vomiting on other passengers and like chickens jumping around and large people everywhere, large people. And you're like, how am I going to sit back there, you know? And so I walk back and I get in and Justin's with me. We were going to Guatemala and we go and we sit down. He had the window seat because I was being nice and I sat in the middle, you know? So he sits and I sit and I'm like, please God, Lord Jesus, if you hear me, will you make sure no one sits next to me on the plane? And I say the best prayer I have ever prayed. I mean, I'm like fasting. They're asking me if I want a drink of water. I'm like, nope, I'm on fast, not even water. I want nothing. I'm praying and fasting that no one sits next to me in the seat. And the whole plane had boarded. And I have the one seat that's still empty next to me. I mean, this is a packed flight. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I hear the door. I heard the like flight attendants talking, doing their check 1973027 or whatever they say, you know, all that craziness. And I'm like, yeah, we're leaving. God answered our prayer. This is so great. Justin, he's already snoring, drooling down the window. It looks like it's raining outside. Like, bro, like you're not even praying for me. You don't care. And all of a sudden, skirt, the door opens back up. I'm like, I didn't think you were allowed to open the door back up once it was closed. Like, I know the rules here. And in comes the largest, let's say the bubbliest human being I've ever laid eyes on. And I'm like looking at myself and I'm looking at them and I'm doing one of these like, lady, you can, lady, it was a lady, I know. Lady, I think you got the wrong ticket. Can I see your ticket? You know, I'm doing one of those, you know, like, I want to see your ticket. Make sure this is the right seat because I prayed you shouldn't be sitting here. Sure enough, she sits. And when I say she sits, I mean that she sat in her seat and mine. Now, listen, this is disgusting, but it's true. And I love her and I hope God blesses her, but this is really what happened. So I'm going to tell the story the way it was. She sat down in both of our seats. I'm not lying. And her belly rested on my leg. I'm like, lady, I couldn't even, I'm like, Justin, wake up. He's snoring. I'm like, bro, wake up. This lady's belly is on my leg. Like, what do you do in a situation like that? There's no rule book for this. Like, what's... I don't know what to do. It's so awkward. Like, it's a belly on your leg. Like, this is so weird. The other thing was I had lost where my arm was. Like, I didn't know. I'm getting nervous because I can't find my arm. Did you see my arm? I have no idea. And so eventually I find it because it's like asleep. And I have to put it up over my head like this and rest it on Justin's shoulder over like this just to like fit in the seat with this woman. And so anyway, I'm going to stop there with that poor lady because she might hear this on the internet at some point and hate me. But first class looks so good right then, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, with this lady's belly sitting on my leg, I just wanted to go to first class so bad. And I'm looking up front and I see this woman who was literally, I mentioned before, like laying across the seats in first class. And as I'm just like, looking, the flight attendant's like, closes the curtains, they can't look in here. And I was just miserable. Everybody wants to be in the first class. Like, everybody wants to be in that big comfortable seat, whether it's on an airplane or in life, right? Like, it's good for us, it feels good for us to be able to do things easily, to have luxury, to be able to get things done well. And so sometimes we even approach our walk with God that way, where we're like, Jesus, I want the easy way here. And we hear a world around us going, hey, listen, you're good. You can sin all you want, and you'll still be okay with God. You can live and make whatever decisions you want and still be okay with God. It's okay. And the sad part is so many of us are believing that. We have our eyes fixed on a first class type of spirituality where we're like, we're all going to make it. But Jesus says, I'm the only way. Just by me. And it's almost insane that we would think it'd be anything different. What if you walked into an emergency room and there was a doctor standing over a patient, and the patient had come in and his heart stopped beating. He was totally flatlined on the table. And so the doctor looks around and he's calling the nurses and he's like, what do I do, doctor? What do I do? What do you need? And he's like, bring me some cough syrup. I need cough syrup. That's what I'm going to give this patient. Like, his heart's not beating. Like, you know that, right? His heart's not. Yeah, I know. I need some cough syrup. Does it sound insane to anybody? Like, if you sprained your ankle and went to the doctor and they tried to give you an Advil and send you home. But the world's doing that. Literally, we're believing that. When they say that, you're all okay. You see, we're not just sick spiritually. Like those instances, like, we're dead. And we're expecting some cough syrup to be able to bring us back to life. But there's one thing that patient needed as he laid on the table, right? Flatlined. He needed CPR. He needed to be shocked. He needed to be treated for the fact that his heart was not beating. And there was one solution to that. And you and I are born with hearts that aren't beating spiritually, and we're living a life dead. I know it sounds crazy, but we're literally walking around spiritually dead. And we're expecting to be able to just be fine. And Jesus says, I'm the one medicine. I'm the one solution. This golden rule I'm talking about, this way that you should be living if you follow me, it can only be done if you've received me as your medicine. The one way. The one that can bring you back to life, that can give you life. It's Jesus. There's just one way. And it says that few people actually find that narrow path and make it in. just a few people. And that's so sad. There could be those of us in this room tonight who haven't yet found that narrow gate. We've never met Jesus. We've never seen the one way. Maybe no one's ever told you. And tonight, I want you to clearly hear. Will you listen for 1 second? When I tell you that the God of this universe created everything. And you and I were born sinful. And it separated us from God. But he said, I love you too much. And God sent his only son, Jesus, God himself, to earth to die for you, to pay for that sin. And he rose again so you could be alive, to take you from death to life. And he says that the one way you can get that healing, that life that you need, is by trusting completely in him and surrendering your life only to Jesus, the narrow gate. And if you haven't done that tonight, I want to ask you, will you just talk to God? Just ask him, Lord, is that me? God, like, he's telling me to talk to you. Like, do I need Jesus? And if you're here tonight and you're like, listen, I know Jesus, but this whole rule thing, I've been playing it out like it's like a rule instead of a heart that I should have in me that says, Jesus, I love you more than anything else. And I'll do whatever because of what you've done for me to give me life. I was walking around this village and I was sharing Christ with just whoever would listen to me, really. I was just going from hut to hut, talking to people. And I got to this one hut and there was this older lady who came out and she had a family. And she came out kind of listening and the rest of them just kind of stayed back. They didn't care what I had to say. And she was talking to me and I was telling her all about from creation all the way up to the cross. And I went through the whole story and she seemed engaged and she seemed like she was listening and interested to hear about like how we came to be on this planet and in existence and who our God was and that he died for us and he rose again. And then I asked her, like, would you maybe want to meet the president of the United States if I could tell you that I could go like introduce you to him? And she was like, what? Here's a lady who's like an indigenous woman in an extremely impoverished village who lived in a mud hut. And I was telling her, what if you could meet the president of the United States, the greatest country on earth? And she was like, yes, absolutely. I'd love to meet this guy. I was like, what about if I could introduce you to like the greatest soccer player of all time? She's like, what? You could do that? I would love to meet them. I said, what if I told you, even better than both of those guys, I could introduce you to the king of all creation. And I'm thinking, I got her. Like, there's no way she's got to realize now by this point, right? I'm expecting her to be like, yes. And she's like, no, not really. My heart broke to hear that. It's like, I just told you who created you, who loves you enough to die for you, who rose again because he's that powerful and he loves you more than anything, and you don't want to meet him. And I ask you the same question tonight as you're sitting here. If you could meet the king of all creation, you could see and meet and talk to that one way, the narrow gate, Jesus, who gives you life. Would you want to meet him tonight? Man, I would hope that you would look me back in the face and say, Rob, absolutely, I want to meet Jesus. And so as you bow your heads for 1 second tonight, I want to ask you that question as the band makes their way back up here. Will you just stop for 1 second and in the quiet of your own heart, will you just pray and say, God, have I really met Jesus? Have I bought into a culture that tells me that there's tons of ways to salvation? Or have I actually entered the narrow gate and met the one way to be saved, Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, Can I challenge you to do something tonight? Will you say yes? Will you say yes? I want to meet Jesus tonight and be saved. And here's how I want to do that. I can't see you guys, but your leaders can. There are leaders all around this room. If you'll just pop your hand up in the air, just quietly, just slide it up so a leader can see your hand that, yes, I want to meet Jesus. I want to know who he is and find this one way and be saved. So we can pray for you. We want to talk to God and just ask him to help you figure out what this deal is with salvation. Just raise your hand up. Leaders, if you'll take notice of who's raising their hands. And if you're really serious about it, you're like, I can't even wait. Will you do me a favor? Will you just stand up where you're at and just sneak out the aisle? The leaders are in the aisles. Just go out there, grab a leader and say, hey, will you pray with me? Will you tell me how to meet Jesus? I want to know him tonight. I know that there's one way and only one way. And without him, there's no salvation. Just pop out to the aisles and say, will you pray with me and show me this one way? I want to enter the narrow gate tonight. I want to be saved. Just get up where you're at and walk out and pray with a leader. And as you're doing that, there's others of you who are here tonight and you're like, I believe, like I've entered the narrow gate, but I'm not following this rule. Like I'm not treating other people with a crazy love in my heart, doing whatever for them. I'm not living like that. I'm living for me. Let's just be honest. I love Jesus, but I love myself a lot too. And I'm living for me and not other people. I need that to change tonight. Will you just raise your hand up too and just say, will you pray for me? I want to start living this rule out because it's good for me. I want to love other people well, and I haven't been. Will you just slide your hand up in the air so we can see it and pray for you? Pray for me tonight. I need to start living this thing out. And if you feel led, those of you guys who just raised your hands and you're like, I don't want to just raise my hand tonight. I need to take it the next step. I need to pray with a leader. The leaders are still out in the aisles. If you'll just pop up too and make this real. See, sometimes we raise our hand about these things in church and then we walk out the back doors and 10 minutes later we forget during a volleyball game. But when we can raise our hand and go pray with another brother and sister in Christ, something becomes real in our heart and we start to really mean what we said. Can I challenge you to be that person tonight? Will you just stand up where you're at? If that's you, I need to live this thing out and go out into the aisles, slide out there and just say, pray with me. I want to live out the golden rule in my life. And as you guys do that, let me pray as we close. And I want to invite you back up here to continue to worship with us. Father, God, thank you that you're good enough to give us a rule like this. To not just leave us totally clueless, but Lord, you love us enough to tell us how to follow you. What's best for us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us how to be free. And for putting your money where your mouth is when you took the cross and you died for us to do it. Thank you. We believe you are alive today. Would you fill our hearts up with joy and excitement and celebration over the fact that Jesus is alive? God, as we get up and we worship these last few songs and as we go out and worship with our lives throughout this week in our actions, God, will you fill us with that joy that says, Jesus, I'm living like you're alive and I love you. Bless you, Lord. Bless these students who are here. Will you fill them up with a courage to live during this summer in ways where they're using their time to serve you, God, to tell other people about who you are, about your salvation and your hope. We give all this to you. It's in your name we pray.